AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Farmers are the original entrepreneurs, right? They're out there every day taking risks.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. America just elected a new president, and many states just elected new chief executives and new legislators. What do these changes, what does this time of transition mean for ag, for AgBioScience, and for entrepreneurs? Well, here to help us understand what could be ahead is an incredible ag journalist, policy extraordinaire, a business owner, a farmer, and editor and publisher of AgriPulse. Welcome, Sarah Wyant, to AgBioScience. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, Mitch. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it is an interesting time of transition in our country as we look to what the next chapter looks like. As we sort of sort through all of the election, all of the inputs and outputs here, Sarah, as you look from your seat at AgriPulse, what do you make of this time of transition in America?
Well, Mitch, as you pointed out, we are just here in the wake of a very historic election with President Trump coming back to win not only the Electoral College, but the popular vote. And in a sweep across the country, not only breaking through all the blue wall states, so to speak, but moving voters in almost every state in his direction, not just white voters, but Latino voters, African-American voters, those who were college educated, but a lot of less college educated or just working class folks. It was really a historic night. And of course, as you know, we're not quite done counting everything outside of the presidential yet. There's two states, Arizona and Nevada, that's not officially called on the Senate side, although it looks like that will be going towards the Democrats. But on the Senate side, Republicans also picked up three seats, so they're going to have a majority in the Senate. And on the House, which many people were suggesting was really going to change from a GOP majority to a Democratic majority, it almost looks like that's going to hold for the Republicans as well. There's still, as of last I looked this morning, 39 seats that were still not finally called in the House, but it looks like there's going to be a trifecta here that is just kind of unprecedented from what anybody had predicted, as well as, what we're going to see in terms of new leadership.
So you yourself are a farmer. You have built a business at this intersection of ag policy and communication. As you look at this new landscape that we're entering into, what does this mean? What could it mean for ag producers, for ag bioscience innovators, and for entrepreneurs at large focused on this ag and rural economy?
As we discussed, some things are still shaking out, but I think we can pretty much harken back to Trump's first presidency when he was elected in 2016, and that you see a man who was very friendly to farmers, wanted to remove a lot of regulations and red tape, which can impact not only farmers, but agribusinesses in terms of go-to-market strategies. You've seen someone who's also been very focused on immigration, and we can talk about kind of pros and cons of that a little later if you want. But he wants to get the economy moving again, and I think that includes the farm economy, which has been in kind of a slump right now. To the extent that President Trump will try to lift up farmers and agribusinesses, I think you'll harken back to the last term when he served as president. There are a couple of new things, however. He's got some new players on his side that we're kind of not sure exactly how this is going to impact. So, for example, Elon Musk, who I think is one of the brightest men in the world, and what he wants to do in terms of streamlining government and reducing some of the bureaucracy could be very, very helpful to those other innovators in our country. And then you have somebody like RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy, who has made no bones about the fact that he wants to play a role in changing not only how food is produced, how food is regulated, what science is used in some of the decision-making at FDA. I don't think most people consider him as someone who will be in a Senate-confirmed position because of some of the challenges there. But he could play a role as somewhat of a health czar or a senior advisor in a new Trump administration.
Sarah, as you talk about innovation and new entrants into the cabinet or senior leadership positions, you look at this new landscape, innovation always begins with what problem are you trying to solve? And being able to clearly define that, you have the beautiful view of sitting with farmers, talking with farmers, talking with agribusiness leaders often. What problem, what challenge do you believe exists? You mentioned a tough farm economy earlier, but what challenges do you believe exist that this next policy environment, this next administration really needs to tackle?
There are so many great opportunities that are evolving from innovators across the country and researchers across the country in terms of trying to produce more with less. And I think for a lot of growers, as they've seen commodity prices settle down, and if you look at, you know, what USDA has forecast in net farm income, Mitch, we're going to go from just a couple years ago having records of farm income over $162 billion to in 24 looking at $116-some billion. So a big drop from those high highs. Still very much in line with 20-year averages, but that doesn't help anybody who's still looking at higher production costs. So I think to the extent that growers want to be not only sustainable on the production side, but economically sustainable, we need to look at ways that we can handle issues such as some of these big rain events that we've seen, big storm events. Growing up on a farm in Iowa, we used to have nice rains throughout the year. Last week on my farm, we got about 3 inches in a few hours. You know, you're seeing things like this with much larger swings in the climate. You're seeing droughts in many parts of our country. You're seeing wildfires. So letting us unleash the science to make it more profitable for people to produce food sustainably, I think is going to be at the forefront of the things that we're going to need to do looking forward.
The two inputs that I continue to hear, desires from industry and just I think from the overall economy, regulatory, you mentioned that, of how do we unleash the power of innovation? How do we unleash the power of science to drive outcomes? And then two is regulatory predictability. I think those two things continue to be really, really important. And maybe I guess if I could add a third, would love to get your take on all three of these. The third would be the farm bill. We can't talk about ag and policy in the future administration without hitting farm bill as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's just start with on the regulatory front. One of the things we do often hear from farmers and in any of the research that we've done is that just give us some certainties that we can do some planning. Because this changing in like a rule like Waters of the United States, Trump repealed a lot of it, Biden put it back in, now it's probably going to go away again, back to the Trump version. So people would like to have this planning guide path that tells them exactly what they need to work around, or better yet, let's remove some of that red tape and just let us bring new products to market, let's get it into the field, try it out, and move forward if it works. So there is a need to have that regulatory certainty. I think the other thing that farmers would really like to see right now is farm bill certainty. I don't see that happening yet in the lame duck. And part of it is it's not for lack of desire. I mean, we've got great people leading House and Senate ag committees. It's just that the version that has passed the House Ag Committee, Mitch, is not something that the Senate Ag Committee leadership that's currently under Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow is likely to take up. And in her perspective, why take something and try to advance that probably couldn't have gotten past the House? And then you look at the timing. Congress comes back next week. They're in November, 8 days in November. And then in December, 12 days. So we're looking at 20 days. And one of the things that has to happen is that there needs to be appropriations bills to keep the government funded. So farm bill probably won't happen until after all those appropriations bills move. There's also a growing desire to do some sort of ad hoc disaster to help people who are impacted by hurricanes and wildfires. And maybe that might include some sort of extra economic assistance for agriculture. But it looks like the farm bill effort may get moved on into early in 2025. But now with the Republicans in control of potentially the House and the Senate, as well as Trump in the White House, they shouldn't have any excuse not to move something in early 2025 if the political will remains there.
Absolutely. We'll take a look at what the future does look like and the role for innovation. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture. No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Sarah Wyant with AgriPulse. Sarah, we have talked a lot about this time of transition that we're in, both the federal level and across many states, both on the executive branch and the legislative branch. Also looking at some of these forces that are really putting pressure on the ag economy and really creating opportunity for innovation. Is there anything we can learn? You're a farmer yourself, a long time, this intersection of ag policy and communication. You've seen a lot of cycles. You've seen a lot of work in this area. What can previous cycles teach us about going forward in this cycle? Are there lessons we can learn to apply to maybe accelerate out of this trough a little faster to create an operating environment that's a little more predictable?
I think there's a couple of things that have been long time constants as you go into any administration. And that's really going back to the history of why I started AgriPulse, is that if you can be better informed about who the players are, what are the policy options, and we don't advocate on behalf of one or another, but if you can be better informed about what the process looks like, then you can be better educated and prepared to weigh in. And the number of farmers and ranchers in this country has not been going up. It's been going the other direction. We need voices. We need folks talking and providing boots on the ground experience to their lawmakers, to their regulators, and saying, okay, this may seem like a really good idea when you wrote it on a piece of paper, but come out here to my farm and see what that looks like and see why it does or doesn't work. Like this whole concept of cover crops. We're planting cover crops on my farm, but the first year that my young writer decided to give it a try, you know, he flew on these turnip seeds and radishes, and it didn't rain for 3 weeks. You've got to be thinking about the fact that Mother Nature doesn't always comply with what you want to have in your textbook. Now, you know, he's got a drill and putting in cereal rye. But, you know, in a lot of areas, again, it doesn't work in all parts of the country. So let's give farmers options and things that they can do to meet some of the new things that are coming up, like 45Z, if that still exists as we go forward, and some of these credits for sustainable practices. So I think that that's one of the things that people have to do first, is make sure that they're educated about what's going on, and then sharing that information. And of course, we hope they read our content with our great team out of Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, California. But then it has to go that next step in terms of being an advocate.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned your reason to act, why you created AgriPulse. It's a big step. I mean, it's a big venture for you. There are likely a lot of farm or farm adjacent listeners, viewers watching this production right now. What was it that tipped you over the edge to say, I'm going to venture out on my own. I'm going to create AgriPulse. I'm going to make these connections that you just walked through and unlock that power.
So I think several things, you know, growing up on a farm in Iowa and having incredible role models in my family, because farmers are the original entrepreneurs, right? They're out there every day taking risks. And when I decided to quit my job with Prairie Farmer, many of your audience would know I was at Farm Progress at that time. Even my folks were like, you want to do what? You want to give up, you know, certainty for this? But it was my passion for being able to help people see what was going on inside, that not only the people, but the politics and the policies that I was able to learn about. And I just wanted to be able to share that so that people could get a deeper understanding of why things were happening. And then, as I mentioned, advocate either for or against those sorts of issues and challenges that were coming up. And I just love having those connections. I love being able to talk to people across the country and ultimately help them do their jobs.
Undoubtedly, your entrepreneurial journey is like many others. It's never a straight line. It's never perfect. Pivots happen multiple times along the journey. For those that are thinking about, or maybe those that are going through the entrepreneurial journey themselves, what have you learned along the way? What are the things that have maybe looked like roadblocks, but were maybe an on-ramp to something else, or other lessons that you could share with those watching or listening?
First of all, I don't think it's a linear path for anybody. I mean, you do go through kind of fits and starts. In my case, I knew I wanted to be all digital, and I knew I wanted to focus on subscriber revenue primarily out of the gate. But I also had a backdrop. I was doing some freelancing and feeding my habit of entrepreneurship along the way. So I was trying to be cautious and not borrow any money. So I took $5,000 loan from a friend and then jumped in. And you mentioned Indiana Farm Bureau. One day I got two checks in the mail. One was from Don Vilwalk, former president of Indiana Farm Bureau, and Mary Kay Thatcher, who's still a subscriber to this day in her role, but she is a longtime American Farm Bureau staff member. So people like that were able to take a risk in me and make that investment. But I also utilize things like rural development, and they have a small business incubator program. And I think that in any type of entrepreneurship, there are some government resources that you should find. If it's rural development or in a small business administration, I worked with them early on, just business structure and things like that. Finding an accountant who is your best resource and someone that can give you that kind of feedback. I remember one time I said something to my accountant about, well, I want to make sure that I can have these tax deductions. And she said, well, let's work on revenue first. Let's not worry about the tax deductions until we have something to deduct from. Things like that take a while. But there are people that I've worked with, other entrepreneurs have gone through things like the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute in Minnesota that helps people actually test their products and go through food safety guidelines. So there's a wealth of information out there. And then one of the things I think is core to that is that I was pretty quick to understand what I knew and what I didn't know. And then how do you find that expert that can help you take it to the next level? And that's always been something that I think is a real asset when you don't sit there and stay stuck because you can't exactly figure it out. There are lots of other people out there who you can either hire or are available in the public sector to help you out.
It is the beauty of this ag bioscience economy. I did not grow up here, but I've found my way here. And there are so many good people who, to your point, just want to help and are willing to be a helping hand and a shoulder to cry on, both and sometimes in the same person. And it's good to be in a community with like-minded people that want to do that.
Absolutely. And I think it's such a wonderful calling for those of us in food and agriculture, in that we truly are laying the groundwork to feed the world. And the more that we can do that as a community, the better.
Absolutely. Sarah, time for one more question. What's ahead for AgriPulse? And dare I ask the question, what's ahead in 2025 for this new administration at the federal level and across the states?
Well, I'm pretty excited about the opportunities ahead. For us as a company, we just had another good year. We're looking at adding a new trade editor here in a couple of weeks, so you'll be looking for an announcement on that. But we are trying to see how quickly and how much we can start to unveil all the things that are going to come out of this Trump administration and the new Senate and House. So we'll be doubling down. We already have the largest editorial team in Washington, D.C., focused on ag, food, and rural issues. We've expanded in California because so much of what happens in California comes back to the rest of the country and has an impact, whether it's low carbon fuel standard or some of the other regulatory issues like Prop 12. And then we're going to just keep growing in other states and upping our game, so to speak, on our coverage and our ability to translate some of these complex policy issues into usable information for our subscribers and our listeners. So I'd say in terms of what you're going to be looking at 2025, we are going to be focused not only on, as I said, unpacking what we're seeing from a new administration, but one of the things that you should have on your radar, Mitch, if you don't already, is just what's going to happen on taxes. That's going to be the big kahuna outside of the farm bill for agriculture. And in part because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that President Trump was able to get passed, most of it expires in 2025. And so you've got everything from estate taxes to 199 to changes in corporate and personal tax rates, R&D tax credit, all these things that you're going to have, it could have an impact on ag and agribusiness and innovation, will be up for renewal. And so how that plays out and doing that in an environment where, for example, starting right out in January, we're going to look at the need to increase the debt limit. So in an environment where we have big debts and deficits, what does that look like? How do we get a tax bill that doesn't put us all that much deeper in debt? So all the intersection of all these issues and the impact on the ag economy could be huge. So stay tuned, and we're going to be following every step of the way.
Well, we love the work you're doing, Sarah. Thank you for investing time to join us here on Ag Bioscience. Sarah Wyant with AgriPulse. Sarah, thanks again.
Thank you, Mitch. It's been great.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, you can always learn more online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Fraser, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.